Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. They play ESPN right there on your smart speakers. What's up, Jack?
He was dancing like he was jumping rope. He was, hey, hey, hey,
hey,
hey.
That's some fancy rope jumping right there.
No, man, that be them kids, man. You got to check them out, Max. Yeah,
I understand. I'm saying it's fancy rope jumping.
Yeah, he's sitting there like, what are y'all doing? I saw him going to the game last night. You know, how kids are always out by the stadium.
Yeah.
They was out there dancing. I'm like, what the heck?
Max, when's the last time you've been to a club?
I grew up in
club. Like a hip hop club?
I grew up in club.
Don't get Max going down that road.
A hip hop club.
The last time I was in a club, I want to say, is probably
last month in Vegas.
Like in Vegas, probably in the before the pandemic in Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But you know,
I was trying to feel out your energy when Max Kellerman walks into a club. Like
we're in New York. Don't even bring up Mars or the Octagon or Mark Ballroom or any of those places from back in the day. Soul Kitchen.
Trying to recognize who you were late night. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, late night. Well, who I am? I'm putting the kids to bed and I'm in bed before the kids. That's late night.
Yeah, man, you're 50. You're supposed to be putting the kids to bed.
Exactly. You know, it's funny because we talk about hey, what'd you do last night? I was in bed at 6 p.m. Do you think a young person who's out at the club and had a great time out at the club, who's happier, them or me in bed at 6 p.m.?
Key, it was a year ago when I walked in here one time. Max is like, I was in here. He walked in for first take. He was like, you look tired. And I was like, yeah, bro. Now I look at him, I'm like, remember that time you asked me I look tired, waking up every morning at 3? Yeah.
It's not that tough, though, man.
No, I'm just talking about when you get to the end of the week and you start, you know, it builds up a little bit. That's okay.
Hold up.
Yeah. Wednesday, Thursdays, you're like, oh.
Jay, you peep game, though. This dude's out there in L.A. talking about, it's not that tough. I got sunburnt the other day. I'm in my flip-flops.
Nobody told you to let them talk you into returning back to New York. That's your fault.
Well, I didn't at first, but you know,
things happen.
Of course,
I need to bring up a topic that Key knows that I'm very interested in.
No. All right, let's move along.
At a certain number,
back to Brooklyn.
Let's get the show going.
At a certain number, I broadcast from the moon. All right, listen.
Bing bang.
Brian Windhorst told us just 30 minutes ago that the trade deadline will be built around the Nets and Sixers talk. Mm-hmm. So, Jay, Key, after hearing from Wendy, what do you think will happen? Jay, I'll start with you, with James Harden and the Sixers before the deadline, 3 p.m. tomorrow.
A lot depends upon what's going to happen with the vaccine mandate, Max. Like you and I were talking about that during the break, about New York potentially today or tomorrow kind of relieving the mask mandate. I don't know what that means as it relates to a vaccine mandate for indoor events or things of that sort. But if that is the case, if they are moving away from that, then I could see you make – all right, look, James Harden, you don't want to be here, fine. Let's figure out that's Ben Simmons, another asset. Try to hold them hostage to a degree to give up James Harden and what you get in return. But I don't know. This is a really tough predicament because if that's not the case and you're running about it, you're like, I want to roll the dice this year with James Harden and Kyrie and KD because that gives me the best chance to win a championship this year, in my opinion. Three innovative guys – who can do everything on the court. The problem is, will we actually see them on the court together? And the relationship between James Harden and Kyrie Irving, if that has fallen to the wayside, like Brian Windhorst has said, that makes it really challenging.
Yeah, it's a tough situation no matter how you look at it. I think, though, for them, the best thing to do is hold on to James because here's what you're getting back. You're getting back a player in Ben Simmons who hadn't played in quite some time, right? He hadn't played half the – because he'll play the second half of the season, you assume, if they trade him. So he's missed the whole first part of the season. He now has to come in and figure out how to play with two guys that he's never played with before. That in itself is hard when you already got James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant that has played some basketball, whether it's in games, practice,
two games.
Whatever the case, but they've played together enough, whether it was all three or a combination of two. So try and implement Ben Simmons into the equation right now to make a strong run. It just seemed like that would be a waste. Now, when the offseason comes, all bets are off. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just, they are. They're, man, all bets are off.
Key, I'm 100%. Of course, if I run the Nets, I'm telling Harden, Kyrie, and KD, listen, this is what y'all wanted. You are all three too good together. Work it out. Win the championship. Stop making excuses and crying like babies. Go win the championship. Vaccines, I don't like this one. We're hurt. Blah, 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 blah. Man, we got the three illest dudes ever together on the same team. Win the championship. And in the offseason, if you, there's no way I'm moving Harden if I'm the Nets. I don't care who has a problem with whom. They are staying right where they are. Now, in the offseason, Harden wants to sign away. We'll do a sign and trade, and we'll go get Ben Simmons then, or whoever then. But I am not, if the Nets would be out of their minds to do this
now. Why, I mean, essentially, I'm still getting a player back that's great. But why am I helping the Sixers in my same division and conference? Why would I do that?
Well, also, I mean, look, you know Daryl Morey wants James Harden. So you hold him hostage. What are you willing to give me for James Harden? Seth Curry?
Sure.
I'll ask for more, like Matisse Thybulle?
Nope.
Can I get more?
That's where they're going to
say.
Tyrese
Maxey, can I get more? I mean, look, you're in a position of leverage here if you're Sean Marks, right?
I'll say this. Thybulle, to me, Maxey's a nice player. Thybulle's the guy who is a difference maker. Like, his defense, we will tell. When our grandkids say, hey, who's the best? Thybulle's going to be one of the names that we think of. He is ridiculous on the defensive end. I think that what you just said, Jay, yeah, you get Thybulle in it too. You're getting a whole lot of defense.
I mean, if
back.
I were Philly, I wouldn't give up. But if I were the Nets, I'm asking for everything.
Yeah.
The worst you could say is no, and I have leverage. No, no deal, not yet. Make
how
your way.
How bad do you want James Harden?
Exactly.
And how bad does James want to be there?
So could the Lakers throw a wrench into this and dominate the headlines, guys, with another deal? Because they lost to the Bucks 131-116. And here's LeBron. Listen to this carefully.
This it tells us we ain't on their level. I mean, I'd have told you that before the game started.
Do you think you can reach that level?
Where they are right now? I don't know. Do I think we can reach the level where Milwaukee is right now? No.
Whoa. See, that last part, where and Key, we all do this, like people in conversations do this. Where somebody asks you a question, and then you kind of answer it, but you repeat the question because you're buying time to truly think about how you want to answer it. And that's what just happened there. You know, do you guys think you can get to Milwaukee's level? And he said, well, I don't know. Do I think we can get to Milwaukee's level? No. I've never heard LeBron. I know Max said he's heard it once. I've never heard LeBron admission to saying because Milwaukee is championship level good. I mean, Miami seems like they're championship level good. I watched the Suns play last night against the 76ers. The Suns are championship level good. Golden State, championship level good. Continuity, experience, you know, people who understand who they are, leadership, the right personnel to make the team click. And when you watch this team, as much as I've never heard LeBron say, I agree, they're not there. They're nowhere close. And I don't think Russ is going to revive himself this year. Like, this is – Russ can revive himself when the ball is in his hands and he can make – you're asking LeBron James, one of the greatest players we've ever seen to play the game of basketball, to take the ball out of his hands to kind of acquiesce to the way Russ needs to play. And I've never seen Russ acquiesce to somebody else.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to answer. I'm going to finish LeBron's statement right there. He doesn't believe that they're at Milwaukee's level right now. The way that they've been playing, the way things are constructed right now. He's not saying, all right, I'm throwing in the towel. I can't believe that this team is this way. He's just looking at it. They got run out of the building. Okay, they were down at once upon a time by 30 points. And so when you look at it, yeah, he said that, but he didn't finish his thoughts. So until the Lakers get things turned around, because it ain't all on Westbrook. Westbrook certainly has some blame based on his play. And I told you, Jay, I ain't never seen it before in my life. Inbound the ball, Westbrook ran the length of the floor like time was running out and he needed to make a shot. Everybody else was just kind of trying to get across the line. I was like, damn. But it just, you can tell there's something wrong with how they're playing, the way that they're playing, and they're trying to figure out the frustration. I don't know if it's Frank Vogel. I don't know if it's old age. I don't know what it is, but you can look, being in that stadium and watching body language, that this is not what they signed up for.
Key, I agree with you. It's a lot of things. It's, I mean, Frank Vogel just won a championship 17, 18 months ago. I mean, you don't have Rajon Rondo. You don't have Alex Caruso. You don't have KCP. Your personnel has changed. You have older guys on your team like DeAndre Jordan. What are you doing with that? You have a lot of pieces that actually didn't pan out, right? And the one thing that was glaring to me last night, and there's footage out there, and if you're paying attention to the Lakers, if you see this footage, you'll see it. LeBron and AD are sitting next to each other. Obviously, they're frustrated. And then you have Russell that comes over to them, and he's talking to him. And you hear later about what Russ has said, essentially saying, hey, I came over there to tell him it's going to be okay. It's a game. Let's actually hear the sound so you can understand what I'm talking about.
Just give him encouragement. Just keep their head up. Keep playing. Tough night. And I told him I wish I could help him. Unfortunately, I wasn't in the game to be able to help them. And that's why I came here to be able to help them out. So unfortunately, haven't been able to do that, for them. But that's not my call. I can be there, as a leader and as a voice of whatever it is that is needed for the team. And that's what I'll do until my number or whatever is called during that time.
See, Key, that's the key. That's I'll be a leader. You'll hear my voice, but it's not my call. That's blaming everything on Frank Vogel. Like that's your star player blaming the head coach, a guy who just won a championship 18, 19 months ago, saying it's not me, it's you because I'm not playing because I've been benched the last two fourth quarters.
I think you've skipped ahead to something there because I appreciate that analysis. I think it's right, but the elephant in the room is that when Westbrook, you got a ball to be able to say some things to some guys. When Westbrook goes up to these two, first of all, look at their response. Look at the body language.
That's what I'm saying.
They're rolling their eyes like this
exactly.
Dude. But I don't think, before we even get to deflecting blame to Frank Vogel for not putting him on the floor, if his message is, I wish I could be out there helping you, but that's not my call, how could they not be thinking, actually, the reason you're not out there is because you're hurting us? Like, that's the killer underneath it all.
They're not going to think that, though. They're not going to look at a guy and say, well, you hurting us.
They don't think they're thinking that?
No, because they don't. You don't think that way. I understand the fan part of it, Max, and stuff like that. But you're not sitting there degrading your teammate that you went out on the limb to get.
That's what I'm saying. I love Russell Westbrook, but if he's hurt, if clearly the team's not functioning well with him, it's tough for him to go there and say, I wish I was out there to help you because there's a reason he's on the bench.
You guys are missing it. Who's okay in the call? Who's okay in the call?
It ain't going to happen
without
you.
It's LeBron, the guy that you're complaining to that if I were out there. I'm not saying that Frank Vogel doesn't have autonomy here, but you don't think Frank Vogel and LeBron James and Rob Pelinka are talking about strategies? And down the stretch, who gives you the best odds to win games in the fourth quarter? You don't think LeBron has anything to do with that? So you have Russell saying, if I were only out there, and he's blaming head coach and Frank, but Bron's sitting there saying, well, you're not out there for a reason. Mm. But Bron is the one that vouched for you to be here. So that's the conundrum that you have.
Yeah, man, like, Key, everything that you're saying, I get it. But to me, that's what makes it harder to watch is that LeBron's got to be sitting there thinking, yo, I am the one who was like, him, go get me him. And you played so bad so far, so poorly, that now it's like, yeah, dude. It just seems to me, I love Russell Westbrook partly because he is unself-aware. All he knows is aggression. Go, go, go. He gives you everything he's got. But LeBron's got to be sitting there like that look that I see on LeBron's face when I watch that video is like, how does he even start to explain to Westbrook what's really going on, right? How do you tell someone like that? That's what makes Westbrook great is that belief in himself and that switch that just goes on and only knows one way. How do you even tell him that?
When they went and acquired Westbrook, he certainly wasn't playing it the way that he's playing now. I mean, they know that. And you keep thinking he's going to turn the switch on all of a sudden in the second half and become a much better basketball player. And I'm sure that they hope that that's the case as well. I think, though, when you're dealing with a Westbrook, there's ways that you have to handle him very delicately. And encouragement is important. So, you know, LeBron looking at him a certain way, LeBron looks at everybody that way. I mean, that's just the way players look at you sideways when you the guy, you the cat. You don't want to hear somebody coming over to tell you everything is going to be okay, because we've been hearing everything is going to be okay since the start of the season. And nothing has gotten any better. And so it's a lot of frustration that's going on right now. A lot of fingers are to blame. Point the fingers, whether it's AD, whether at times it's LeBron, whether it's Westbrook. There are pieces that are in play, but it's all of it. And until they fix it, we're going to see what we saw against the Bucks last night.
Okay,
and I think that's what LeBron is speaking to.
I think one of the things that really frustrates LeBron is that, and this is just basketball talk, if the ball is in my hands the majority of the game, I have to be cerebral. I have to see the floor. I have to recognize time and situation. I have to make the right plays, right? I can still be aggressive. If I want the ball in my hands, that is my responsibility. So that comes with Russell Westbrook. And I think one of the things that's really bothering Bron is that you would hear these conversations that Bron and Jason Kidd would have a couple of years ago. And you'd be like, man, I feel like I'm listening to two geniuses, right? Because Bron is able to orchestrate the floor that way. He sees the floor. Now, in order for this to succeed, right, Bron has to play a little bit off the ball. And, Key, you brought up that point. After a timeout, sideline out of bounds, they bring the ball in. Everybody else is walking down. You hear Russ to the rim, right? And Bron's like, what are you doing, dude? Like, that's a time and situation. Think the game through. And I think that's one of the things that's really bothering Bron. So even to bring back the point where I hear what you're saying, Key, about Bron's going to look at everybody that way. But Bron, like, is so completely thorough with the way he thinks the game through. Bron's like, Russ, it's right there. How do you not see it, Russ? How do you not see
it? He's either going to see it soon or things are going to fall apart. Emmanuel Sanders, Bills wide receiver and Super Bowl champion, is coming right up.
One thing the Bills can, be happy about is they got that man. They got that man.
Right.
And so for the next 10 years, you're going to be in the playoffs every single year, but we got to get it right.
Shotgun snap. Allen back to throw. Sets up deep. Has all day long. Takes a look into the end zone. Looking for Sanders. He's got him. Touchdown, Buffalo. Emmanuel Sanders.
No one circles the wagon like the Buffalo Bills.
Emmanuel Sanders with us now, Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. What's going on? Thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Man, wake up, man.
Hey, man. I'm on the West Coast, and I love Buffalo. Then I went to Denver. I'm trying to find out what time zone I'm in, but I'm good, baby.
but I'm on the West Coast too, Emmanuel. Come on now.
Hey, you've been on the West Coast, though. I just tested out on the West Coast.
No, that's facts. Real. That's real, though. I've been here for a minute, so I'm used to the time zone now.
Oh, yeah. It's all good, though, man. It's a blessing regardless.
Manu, what was it like in that wild, playing in that wild overtime game versus the Chiefs earlier in this postseason? It felt like, to me, when I watched that game, I'm like, I don't even know who gets to the Super Bowl, who doesn't. To me, that's the Super Bowl. Like, I think I just watched the best football. What was it like in that game?
Yeah, imagine your dreams come to you, and you like, yeah, there's a 95% chance that I'm gonna get my dream come true to play in an AFC Championship, have an opportunity going to Super Bowl, and all of a sudden, 13 seconds with almost 95% chance of winning is all taken away from me. You know, man, it was definitely heartbreaking. One of the probably hardest games I've played in terms of the disappointment of it, and I played in Super Bowls. And that game was up there. But, you know, at the same time, you know, everybody's been coming around saying, man, this could possibly be one of the greatest games ever played in the NFL. It was like a bad dream. I remember sitting in the locker room, and it was me, Diggs, Josh Allen, Gabe Davidson. We literally was all just sitting there like, wake up. Like, this can't be happening. And it was like 20 or 25 minutes, and then all of a sudden, you know, I look and I say, man, like, we can sit around and say if we would have did that and did that, but the reality is that, man, we lost, you know, with 13 seconds left. And you know, and then I looked over at Josh and I told him, and I told Diggs, I said, but what we just witnessed is two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time going at it head-to-head, and what a hell of a game and what a hell of a season that we had. You know, obviously, you know, that wasn't the motivation to say, oh, yeah, I feel better. But just when you reflect on the game and just what type of game it was, man, what an amazing game to be a part of. Sucks to be on the opposite spectrum of it that we didn't win. But, man, it was just an incredible game to see two great quarterbacks. I mean, Josh Allen just shoving defensive linemen off of them like they're, you know, on junior varsity in high school and making crazy plays. And then Gabe Davis, right, coming out of the woodworks and having a day. And I remember texting Gabe and telling him, like, man, I'm so proud that the world got to see everything that I knew that you were. And so just an incredible game, incredible outcome. And, you know, happy to be a part of it, but at the same time, it sucks to be on the bad side of it, on the losing side of it.
Emmanuel, I promise you, though, man, we didn't even bring you on this show to talk about bad things in the bad games and bad memories. But I got to ask you, how often do you think about the catch that could have been in the Super Bowl with the 49ers?
Yeah, it's crazy because, you know, after that, you know, after that play, like, I really wasn't thinking about, you know, me. Or I was just like, man, I lost the Super Bowl, but now I walk to the airport and it's like they walk up and they go, oh, you said it. And that's the first question. Man, what happened? And, you know, so that has kind of become, you know, my niche. But, you know, at the same time, everybody's kind of been giving Jimmy G, you know, kind of grief about that throw and that specific throw. But, you know, man, Keisha, it's a team sport. You know, there's multiple plays you can point at that certain players could have made, or a coach could have made this, or a defense could have made that play that could have determined the outcome of that game. But, you know, but I'm not going to lie, sit up here and tell you that sometimes I don't dream of being able to catch that ball, run into the end zone, and become a Super Bowl legend, you know what I mean? Like, heck yeah, I would have wished that would have happened, but it didn't. And, man, you know, when I think back on it, just all the criticism that Jimmy G has been getting, sometimes, you know, I find myself kind of getting pissed off about it, man, because Jimmy G, man, one of the best teammates I've ever had. Man, just incredible dude, real dude, and a winner, you know what I mean? Like, if you look at his win percentage and how people still doubt him, it's unbelievable. You know, I remember going in the game and saying, like, I'm with Jimmy G and this dude win percentage is this. I'm confident in that, you know, and I'm confident in his leadership. And so, you know, all the criticism that Jimmy G get just because of that one throw, you know, I don't think it's fair because at the end of the day, we lost as a team.
Manuel, speaking of throws, your quarterback, Josh Allen, made some incredible throws this year and really stepped up down the stretch. Where would you have him ranked in the NFL right now as it relates to all the top quarterbacks?
I'm going number one for my guy.
You taking over Patrick Mahomes? You taking him over all you know, Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I'm taking Josh over all of them. And, you know, obviously, yeah, I'm not dissing any of those guys. They spectacular players. But if I had to make a team right now, I'm taking Josh Allen as my quarterback. And, you know, I've had the pleasure of playing with a lot of great quarterbacks. But, man, this guy, his ceiling is extremely high. And he's a dynamic dual threat, like, playmaker. Like, the things that he can do with his legs, and not only that, with his arm, it's dynamic. And man, it, like, I remember when I first got to the Bills, it was like a post route right down the middle. Cole Beasley was in the slot, and he ran like a post route. It was probably like a 35-yard throw, and Josh is—it's a laser on the rope in between Jordan Poyer and Micah High on the road. Cole Beasley goes up, snatches them, and runs right between them. And I remember looking around, and I'm thinking everybody would be just wowed by the throw, but it just seems like I was the only one that didn't know how good the dude was, you know what I mean? And several throws after that, just at practice that you see, it was just like, man, yeah, this guy is on a whole other level. And then you add the fact that, you know, he's clocking – 20 miles an hour, you know, in the game off a quarterback scramble or a quarterback draw at the size that he is, you know, and the strength that he has. It's a few times I wrestled with this dude. I'm like, man, this dude is strong. You know, he's strong. And it's a reason why he's shoving off these defensive lines, because he's strong. And then you add that arm talent. And so I'm definitely going to take him number one. And it's still in his heart, you know. And, you know, one thing that I respect about him is he felt like he was supposed to be in a Pro Bowl. And obviously he could have went as an alternate, but he's like, you know what, like, I feel like I'm supposed to have been in there not as an alternate, so I decide, you know, not to play until next year and to prove to myself that, yeah, I'm supposed to be off in here, you know. And so, you know, I respect him just not only as a football player, as a quarterback, but as a man.
Tell us why you're here with us today, Emmanuel.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm talking with you guys because I'm here on behalf of Kicks, Kicks World. Man, I'm really big into shoes. Like, I got so many shoes. I love shoes. I probably have way too many shoes. And with that said, and me having too many shoes, Kicks is a brand that I really believe in. They pretty much, if you want to have a pair of shoes that you know that you're going to wear one time or two times, even if you wanted to own a pair of shoes, they pretty much rent out shoes for you. But if you wanted to purchase the shoes, you could also purchase the shoes. The safety is if you purchase the shoes and you say, you know what, like, I'm only going to wear them one or two times, you can send them back to them and pretty much just pay like a rental fee to it. And so I think just the way that the world is going in terms of, say, for instance, you have to go to a premiere and you want these shoes, you don't want to spend $1,500 on a shoe. You hit up Kicks World and all of a sudden, like, they'll send you the shoes. But you can also have a subscription. And I'm definitely going to start to add to that because, I mean, for me, like, say, for instance, if I wanted to, like I said, go to a movie premiere, or if I wanted to have a photo shoot and I don't want to just keep this shoe for and pay $2,000 or $1,500 for these nice shoes, high-end shoes, then I can just grab a shoe and, you know, wear it for a couple of days or whatever. And if I decide I wanted to keep it, I could keep it. But if not, I could send it back and keep on, pretty much renting our shoes, leasing our shoes. And so it's definitely different, but it's the way that the world is going in terms of people wanting to save money, but also look good and look fly. And so, you know, it's Kicks, and I believe in it tremendously.
That's Emmanuel Sanders, ladies and gentlemen, who's made five different teams. Every time he's on a team, that team's making a run to the Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl, winning playoff games, winning 12, 13, 11 games in a year. Thanks, Emmanuel. Appreciate you jumping on with us.
All right, baby
boy.
Hey,
I appreciate you.
All right, man. All right.
Yeah, one of the most underrated players in the game, basically his whole career. Last time
stop
the Rams.
Stop frowning, Jay.
Stop. What?
Nothing. That's key. That's for me. Key.
The last time the Rams played in the Super Bowl in Los Angeles, this man was their quarterback. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This second I was traded here, and we got Von Miller, we get Odell, we get these unbelievable players. You know, the pressure for our team has been there all season from the outside, but from us, that stuff hasn't really bothered us, hasn't really crept in, you know, into our thought process at all. We just go out there and attack each day.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Your smart speaker, just say play ESPN, pops right up. Download the podcast. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. You know, I remember, like, there's some years where you got 1 week lead up to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I remember when the Giants played the Bills, there was a week. There was a 1 week lead up instead
really
of two.
Long time ago, the Giants.
I'm just saying, yeah, but I mean, that's why there's a reason I'm bringing it up. Because as a Giants fan, you feel a little cheated when you don't have those full 2 weeks of buildup, right? Like, this game is a big deal. But this has had the full 2 weeks, even in the pandemic. Like, you know, the way they're doing the pressers now, a little different, like socially distanced and everything. But we've got some good stuff out of it from Joe Burrow and others. And especially considering the momentum that was built with those last 2 weekends of football, those 4 games in the divisional round, the 2 games in the conference championships, I feel like I'm like extra geeked for
this
one.
I'm extra hyped about it, but I also feel like a part of me thinks the bottom's going to fall out because the games have been so good, because they've came down to the wire so many times. I'm like, am I going to see a team get blitzed? Like, am I going to see the Rams? Like, am I going to see them run by 15 points? I don't know.
Key, when we were kids, the Super Bowl usually was a bad game. But in recent, like, over a decade now, you know, the Super Bowl a lot of times is a great game. I feel like...
Bad game when I was a kid? I'm trying to think.
They were, like Giants-Bills was an anomaly. Usually it was, you know, the Bears or the Giants or the Niners beating the snot out of somebody.
Yeah, I really didn't. Yeah, the Niners would beat up on Cincinnati. That was as a kid. The Giants and the Bills and the Cowboys was good.
They had some good mix in.
The Giants
and the
Bills were good.
A lot of times the game was a dud. That has not been the case in
recent years. The Raiders and Washington was good. I'm just going through it in my mind as a kid. The Raiders and Washington was good.
A lot of blowouts, though. A lot of blowouts back then. A lot of times it was more about the pomp and circumstance, as you would say, the snap, crackle, pop of the game, than it was the results. But that has changed in recent years. The results have been great. You know, the Chiefs getting.
I like blowouts, though.
They got blown out by the Bucs because they didn't have an offensive line. That was an anomaly. I don't see a blowout here. I don't see a blowout.
I need to see somebody get. I don't want to see back and forth. I mean, it's cool for ratings and stuff like that, but I like to get it over with.
All right. Well, we're going to continue to look ahead at the Super Bowl coming up. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
The second I was traded here and we got Von Miller, we get Odell, we get these unbelievable players. You know, the pressure for our team has been there all season from the outside. But from us, that stuff hasn't really bothered us, hasn't really crept in, you know, into our thought process at all. We just go out there and attack each day.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Former Rams quarterback and Vince Ferragamo on with us now. What's going on, Vince?
Hey, fellas. How you doing? How's Key doing?
What's up, V?
How you doing, big man?
Man, I'm hanging in there, enjoying the great weather, as I like to tease my co-host. They're out there in, you know, man, New York. So
I'm telling you, they got to get your impression of these two guys, Cooper Kupp and Ja'Marr Chase. Man, I tell you, those two guys can really play some ball. They're looking good. I mean, the stats these guys put up are amazing.
Yeah, no question about it. Vince, what's it been like this week around the L.A. area in the Rams for this Super Bowl here in Los Angeles?
Well, you know, you've been out here, you've attended college ball out here, and you know what it's like when you get down to the stretch run like this, and the whole team generates this enthusiasm around the city. It's pretty exciting. I mean, you see Super Bowl everywhere in L.A., and the lights are brighter. Everything just seems to be ringing the praise for the Los Angeles team this year. And so I see that with fans. I see that, you know, people just getting enthusiastic about what's happening here. Sean McVay's brought the winning attitude, the winning culture in Los Angeles. And it's been, you know, it's just been growing. And I think, all the chips are pushed to the middle of the table. And you know, the acquisitions they've gotten the last, half of the season have really cashed in for them. I mean, Von Miller's been playing great, and so is OBJ. So they're really fitting in now, the system. And this makes this team tough to beat. And so, you know, with the weather we got out here now, the Santa Anas are blowing. Everything's blowing this way. So I think the Rams have a good shot at it.
Vince, a lot of parties going on this week. You got the GQ party. I might be there. You got the Snoop Dogg has a party. Any parties in particular you're thinking about going to for Super Bowl weekend?
Well, you know, everything's surrounding Super Bowl experience, and there's so many activities. I was just involved in a game last night where, the Wounded Warrior program was great fun. Snoop Dogg and Kurt Warner there were out there having some fun with the kids, and that was a special event. And then they have some luncheons coming up. I'm going to attend the Merlin Olsen luncheon. They're going to honor some of the past Hall of Fame Ram players, you know, Jackie Slater, Jack Youngblood, Tom Mack, Eric Dickerson. So it's going to be a fun day. And looking forward, though, to the weekend, because the weekend it's all culminates, you know, with the Super Bowl game being here right at SoFi. So it's going to be a lot of fun this week.
Vince Ferragamo, former Rams quarterback, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Now that the Rams are back in the Super Bowl again here in Los Angeles, how big is this for L.A., considering that the Lakers don't look like they're going to get it done and the Dodgers didn't get it done?
Well, yeah, it's always been that San Francisco and L.A. matchup, and it was – you know, a couple of weeks ago in the NFC Championship game, and you know, the Rams prevailed in that one. That was it was a nail biter at the end. Could have went either way, but I think, you know, everyone's looking forward to this game. As I mentioned earlier, it's win or bust. And I think for the Rams, have to, you know, there's so much more to lose if they don't win this game. So everyone's so excited about them, it'd just be a big letdown. But I think. So the pressure seems to be on them. And this Cincinnati team, I mean, geez, Joe Burrow, I played with his dad in college, and he's just a terrific player, young talent, can do everything. He's just so poised and confident, not only in his own ability, but in his teammates. And I think when you're that confident in your teammates, it makes you a better player. But, you know, this is a game that, you know, you just pull out all the stops. Keyshawn, you know that, and you just – You got to play hurt. It doesn't matter what the deal is. When we played back, you know, 40-some years ago in the Super Bowl, we had our team captain, Jack Youngblood, play with a broken leg. So it just, you know, it's a time to shine and to make the best of the situation. But this is big for the city of L.A., obviously, and for Stan Kroenke and bringing this new stadium to town. Everything just seems to fit right in place.
Former Rams quarterback Vince Ferragamo on with us, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Vince, you played in the Super Bowl for the Rams in Los Angeles at the Rose Bowl, you mentioned. So what do you remember about that experience?
Well, you know, it was a big time for us. It was a new new thing for us because we'd never been that far. And, you know, we got through the playoffs. The playoff run was extra special. And being able to play in the Super Bowl, just the notoriety, the attention, being a worldwide event, it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger each and every year. And so, We played Super Bowl 14, and you know, just looking back on it now, it's like, wow, now look at it. You know how much even bigger it is. And it's hard to believe, you know, it's bigger than what it was. We had over 100,000 people at the game, and I remember the excitement. I remember the anticipation and stepping on the field, playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, it was a thrill. It was, you know, we were a huge underdog, and would have made that extra point. You know, we would have covered the spread, but it just didn't happen that way. But we missed that kick, and you know, Terry Bradshaw, and you know, the cream rises to the top at the end of the game. They played a great game and come out and showed everybody in the world that they were one of the greatest teams of all time.
Vince, when you watch Matthew Stafford this year, so many people were wondering, him coming over from Detroit, can he help elevate this team? Can he give Sean McVay what he didn't have in Jared Goff? What has impressed you most about Matthew Stafford thus far?
I think, you know, his leadership, what he's brought to the game through his experience, playing in big games, playing from always behind the eight ball, you know, and now he's with a team that can get out to an early start and finish a game. And he's been able to sit there in the pocket, to tell you the truth, and throw under pressure. I mean, that's when he's played his best football, was when teams blitz him. And you know, in the fourth quarter, he's been very efficient with the ball. And so this is kind of what they were waiting for, because a quarterback, you know, that's what you need the quarterback for, is to be in the fourth quarter, to maybe lead the team down for the final drive of the game. It doesn't matter how much time is on the clock in today's football. If you have a timeout or two, it's always great. Even 13 seconds left in the game, you can still win. So it's, you know, it's that confidence factor that now the players all around him have. And, you know, nothing to say about Jared Goff. Jared Goff, I liked him as a quarterback as well. But Matthew Stafford has just brought another dimension, you know, to this team. And I think Sean McVay saw it, and he was appreciated and knows that he's got the guy out there that can get the job done.
Vince, we continue to talk about Joe Burrow and everything he's done in his second season with the Cincinnati Bengals, coming off an ACL injury, leading them now into the Super Bowl. Mm. What has impressed you most about this young man this season?
Well, that's a great question, Keyshawn, because, you know, this guy is, like I said, he's extra special. He's as efficient as any quarterback in the league. Coming off that injury, you know, I was kind of saddened to see that happen to him last year, because he's such a great talent. And great talent like that doesn't come, you know, every now. It's hard to find. And, you know, his quarterback rating on third and fourth down are off the charts. So, and that just tells you something about the kid, because, you know, even being sacked, you know, in that Titan game, what, 9 times, they still win the game. They find a way to win. So you're never out of the game with him at quarterback. And his ability, his sense of anticipation, his knowledge of the game, he's really got a special knack to make plays, to see the openings, to have a great feel out there, and know when to run, know when to throw it, know when to get the ball to his playmakers, you know. And he's really done a great job with Ja'Marr Chase. He's been a great addition for this team. And he's got a great quarterback coach, and, you know, guy, it just keeps going on and on. So when they locked him in as the number one draft pick, you know, they started to change that whole franchise around.
That's Vince Ferragamo, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Vince. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Vince. A lot, V.
Okay, guys. Have a great week.
Have a good one, my man.
Yeah, everyone.
All right, man. See ya.
Everyone sees the same thing with Joe Burrow. Like, mm-hmm. and he's, you know, I talked about earlier how we spend so much time talking about his moxie and his intangibles that we overlook. Hey, he's 6'4" and he can run, and he can, and he's accurate and all that kind of stuff. He's a good arm. But, like, the numbers back it up. He is great on third down, on fourth down. Mm-hmm. He does those things that we say intangibles, but actually there's evidence in the record that those things actually exist. He does a whole lot of, in fact,
Max.
And he'll need to do a whole lot more considering that O-line and some of their issues.
You're not lying.
Hey, Max, yeah. I know you got a crush. So is it Joe Burrow? Is it Jimmy Garoppolo? or is it Justin Herbert?
I like Jimmy G, but he's not in that conversation. It's between Burrow and Herbert.
Who are you going to dinner with, though?
Which one, Herbert or Burrow? Make a choice right now.
It's like the last one you saw is it's like a pretty girl's walking by. The last one is like a great catch in baseball. The last one you saw was the best one you ever can remember. That's all I have to say. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.